You can share our regular Facebook page. That way it gets out to the world, to the community, to any who might be able to watch. But once again, I want to say how encouraged I am by everybody being willing to come out to study God's Word as we gather together. And I hope that we're able to do this as this continues. And of course, my hope and prayer is that this will all come to an end and that we're able to go back into the building and actually be able to shake each other's hands and greet one another the proper way. And but we're making the best of the opportunity, best of the times that we have. So once again, I hope that everybody will open up their Bibles, follow along as we go throughout the lesson this morning to see what is being taught is the Word of God. And any questions or comments, you can put those in the comments section or get a hold of me and we can study it further. What I want to talk about is if you open up your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter 3. And James chapter 3 is where I want to start this morning. If your Bible is like mine, those who put it together put little titles on top of certain spots where they think it kind of defines on what the scripture is talking about there. And mine titles it The Untamable Tongue. And I want to go ahead and talk about the tongue today and talk about watching what we say, watching, of course, not just with our physical mouth, but talking about watching what we put on our Facebook page also, what we put out there on the internet, how we talk to one another, especially with what's going on right now. We all have different opinions how to take care of this. We all have different views on how strict we should be. We all have a conscience of what we think that God expects from us on. And we know that there are some who choose to stay at home this morning, some who have come out, obviously, this morning. You know, we may get some feedback on Facebook saying we should all stay at home. But when it comes down to it, we all have a different opinion on how we should be approaching this. And I think we should all be understanding of one another's thoughts on it. And sometimes we're not considerate of what others are thinking and how much praying they've done on the situation. And we're quick to judge one another. We're quick to say something. And we often bring out that point that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And so I want to just open up our Bibles and see what it has to say and make sure we're living the life as a Christian that we ought to be. I may be turning to my pages a couple times. I had the wind out here blowing my pages around. But going back to James chapter 3, and I'm just going to start off reading the scriptures here and bringing out a few points as we get to a couple scriptures. So starting in verse 1, James 3 and verse 1, says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by every small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest fire the little fire kindles." I want to stop there real quick, and I'll pick up here in a minute. But look what it says we have accomplished as mankind, as God has given us dominion over the world, over all living things in this world. He says we are able to control and tame large beasts, horses. We're able to build great ships and turn them with these small things. But yet it says our tongue is such a small member of our body, and yet it can do such great damage. We have to be careful. And what we stopped on there and in verse 5, as it brings out there, what a forest fire it can do and how much damage it can cause. In verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." And so once again, here it says it can start a fire. it can grow and it can do a lot of damage. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we're saying, as every day, and even when this is all over, but we need to be careful and consider what we are writing and what we are saying. Picking up in verse 7. It says, "For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creatures by the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. By brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." So here it says, you know, we can get caught up, and we're often saying, yes, praise God, thank the Lord, I love Jesus. And then we turn around and we're ready to just down men, down our brethren, down our neighbors, and talk bad and evil about others. It says these things ought not to be so. And once again, it's not talking about here of stating the truth to somebody, standing up for the Word of God, and the times that we have to practice church discipline, or the times that we have to stand against false doctrine. But when we just go about evil speaking of other people, when we're going about and just defaming others, and we need to make sure we watch what we say. I understand when we go back up to verse 2, I want to look at verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." Here, once again, a reminder. Because I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular. Because there it says we all stumble. We all stumble in one thing or another. And it brings out here the point that we all eventually at one point or another stumble with our mouth. Because we get caught up in anger, we get caught up in not thinking, and we just say what's on our mind real quick, and then we're like, I shouldn't have said that. All right, so as we consider that, we need to remember we all stumble. All right, we need to remember that as we're thinking about what other people are deciding to do also. That you've stumbled yourself also. I've stumbled myself also. We have to remember that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as we can read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We all stumble. We all have our different weaknesses. And so therefore, we have to be, once again, considerate of one another, considering how things are going for one another. Turn along with me to Titus, if you will. In Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, and I'm going to start there, and in verse 1. Titus 3 and verse 1. I'm going to have to put this up here. That wind's blowing everything around. So turning to Titus 3 and verse 1. As it reads here, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various love, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through His washing, regeneration, and renewing of Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that have been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So here, once again, as it brings out, it tells us, you know, remember, you were once disobedient. You were once caught up in sin. And then, because of the grace of the Lord, you have been saved. You have been sanctified. But the verses before that, it says, "Consider one another, showing all humility to all men." We need to think about that. We need to consider one another. And therefore, I want to talk about the attitude that we have for one another. Making sure that we have the right attitude, that we are truly concerned for each other. And I think, once again, this goes for both views of what's going on today and considering, you know, how much exposure we're putting out there, but also and making sure that we are considerate of, well, they may need to be getting out there. I don't know the full situation on why they chose to do what they're doing. And so we need to keep an open mind as we think about our brethren, think about our neighbors. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 31, Mark chapter 12 and in verse 31, after it was made mention of the first and great commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with the strength. This is the first and great commandment. In verse 31, it says, and the second is like it. The second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the second and greatest commandment. That we love our neighbors as ourselves. That we are truly concerned for one another. We truly love one another. And we're not just that, we love them as yourself. You turn with me and open your Bibles to Luke. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Luke chapter 6. And reading there and in verse 31. As it reads and says here, it says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And so here, going a further step, that we love one another as they, you know, as yourself, well, that means you're going to treat them as you'd want them to treat you. You'd want them to consider your point of view. You'd want them not to judge you and be open-minded to the point that you are truly convicted by the Scriptures and what you're doing, that you feel that you need to be doing certain things. And so we truly need to think about our attitude towards one another. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Once again, it comes back to our Lord. It comes back to God. He is our Creator. He's the one that created you. He's the one that created your neighbor. He's the one that created your brethren. He's the one that created your enemies. And He loves them all. He loves you. And therefore, because He loves you, we ought to love one another. Turn into Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and reading verses 3 and 4 here. Philippians 2, and reading verse 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Once again, we consider each other, consider one another. As long as, once again, it doesn't go against the Word of God, as long as we're not allowing what other people want to do keep us from keeping true to the words and commands of the gospel, of the commands that God has given us, then we should be considering one another. We should be looking out for each other. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians 6 and in verse 10, where it tells us to do good unto all, especially the household of saints. So we want to make sure we're doing good to everyone. We want to make sure that we are keeping the right attitude, whether it be our brethren in Christ, our family members, our blood relatives, whether it's our neighbors or our enemies, that we are having the right attitude towards one another. And that we consider that before we speak, before we just let the first thing in our mind come out of our mouth. And of course, the final point I want to look at this morning is that remember that we do all things and speak for the right reasons. Speak for the good things. Like I said, there are times that we do need to speak up, and it's not always going to sound the nicest way. But we're doing it out of the kindness of our heart. We're doing it because we love one another when we have to practice church discipline, when we have to do the right things. And so therefore, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. if we're going to speak and we're going to make sure that we are doing it according to the Word of God, especially when it comes down to teaching and what is the right thing to do by God, to follow His commandments, what we would keep people from going to heaven, speak the oracles of God. And the way to do that is to open up your Bibles, guys. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, there it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is God's breath. It has everything we need in it, and we need to make sure that's what we are following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, if you turn with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also are doing. Edify, encourage, build up one another. Guys, we occasionally have to go forth and admonish also, go forth and, rebuke people. But we are doing it according to the Scriptures, doing it correctly in the right manner. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, Ephesians 4, and reading there in verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed of the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And so once again here, bringing out the point that we have to have the right attitude, that we have to be loving towards one another, that we want to make sure we're doing all things to help one get to heaven and not to push someone away. I want to finish the lesson with James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, if you turn along with me, and read with me in verse 26, it says, "If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Understand, we can ruin our religion if we don't watch what we say. If we are not careful in what comes out of our mouth and what we type on our computers, on our phones, we need to make sure we watch what we say. Because it's easy to get caught up and just start throwing things out there. And once you throw it out there, it's hard to take it back. So I want to extend the Lord's invitation as I have the opportunity to do so. Anyone who are here that need to obey the gospel, desires to obey the gospel, we can make sure that takes place. If you have any questions or comments, we can help you and study in the further. If you need the prayers of the congregation, you just let us know, and we'll make sure we get that known to others that we can pray for you. And if you're not here, you're watching on Facebook, the same applies to you. So we're about to sing the song of encouragement. I guess I can't say stand and sing. But if you have your hymn books out, we'll be singing Count Your Blessings, 392. 392, Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempted tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. count your many blessings, see what God had done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.